Heyo, Packer fans, what's going on? Welcome to the Packers Trilogy Podcast, presented by the Wisconsin Sports Trilogy, the podcast for diehard Packer fans by diehard Packer fans. I'm your host, Trevor. You can find me on Twitter at Bender_Trevor, and as always, you can find our podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Trilogy_Pod. The Packers are back. The Packers win three straight against three difficult opponents. Chargers, a couple weeks ago, winning 23-20, beat the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving, 29-22, and then surprised the world and beat the Chiefs at home, 27-19. And it looks like this win streak really feels like it's coming down to two people. That's what it feels like to me anyways. Really, and obviously their team wins, you know, it's not just these two, obviously. Football is a team sport, all that kind of stuff, right? But the change that we've seen over the last month or so, maybe you could go back even to the Rams game. They won that game 20-3 and then just lost to the Steelers in a one-possession game. And then, like I said, went on a three-game win streak, Chargers, Lions, Chiefs. But if you just go back to that Rams game, since then, to me, it has seemed different for two people. Matt LaFleur just seems like he's been in his bag, and he's like starting to trust all of his young players on offense that he can call what he wants to call. Because to me, the offensive scheme, design, play calling looks different than it did prior to that Rams game. The whole way leading up to that, the offense did not look like how I expected the offense to look outside of maybe week one against the Bears. But it just seemed like something changed. I don't know, like I said, if it was just trust or what happened, but Matt LaFleur just has gotten in his bag a little deeper, and the play designing, the play calling, obviously there's times where I was like, what was that play? Like the 3rd and 15 right before halftime. When we needed to get like 4 yards, 5 yards to give Anders a shot to bring that score up even higher. You know, going into halftime, that would have been a huge, huge thing had the Packers been able to add another three there. In that first, that would have been 17-6, and that's a completely different game. You know, going into the second half for the Chiefs, then 14-6. I know it doesn't seem like a big difference, but to me, that would have been a big difference. I didn't love that play call. But for the most part, other than that, I thought Matt LaFleur was awesome in this game, and he's been awesome, like I said, since the Rams game, especially during this three-week stretch of beating the Chargers, the Lions, and the Chiefs. He's looked incredible. And maybe more importantly, the other guy I mentioned, Jordan Love. He flat out looks better than he had all year, and it's really started since the Rams game. Obviously, he had those couple interceptions in the Steelers game. The last one on the last play of the game, you know, I think I talked about this, but, you know, you have to try to score a touchdown. An interception in that moment isn't the worst thing in the world. I do think I remember saying, though, that if he would have released that ball on time, that very well could have been a touchdown and a win there too. And then the other interception in that Steelers game, it was just a good play by Patrick Peterson. It wasn't a perfect ball. It needed to be a little bit better, but it was a great play by Patrick Peterson to deflect it and allow his safety teammate to come over and make the interception. But we're here to talk about this Chiefs game because this was incredible, but I just wanted to preface this. Like, it just feels different with Matt LaFleur kind of, like I said, being in his bag and really calling great games. And then the confidence that he has in both Jordan Love and the rest of this offense, because it's not like they just ran the ball, right, in this game. Jordan Love had 36 pass attempts, right? He was 25 of 36 for 267 and three touchdowns. And then if you look at the rushing stats, they ran the ball 25 times. Two of them, were Jordan Love. And then, You know, you could probably throw in the little pop passes to Jaden Reed as part of the running game, but those are technically passes. So it was just one of those things that, like, you would expect this Packers offense to just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And they did, right? Like, A.J. Dillon carried the ball 18 times. It wasn't like they steered away from it at any point in this game. But when the pressure was on and we needed a play, it was Jordan Love dropping back to throw. And most of the time in this game, he was making the play. Now, in the second half, there was some times where he missed. There was a time where he rolled out on, I believe it was 3rd and 15. It wasn't the one right at the end of the game. But he rolled out and threw it up to Jaden Reed. And I thought it was a pretty good ball. And Jaden Reed just, like, stopped for some reason. I imagine it was because Jordan was rolling out of the pocket and he didn't know if he'd be able to get it on him. So he was trying to come back and make it easier for Jordan. But the thing was, is the defender was, like, in front of him. So if he would have just taken a few steps back and then tracked the ball and went and found it, that could have been a huge play. I don't think that was a particularly bad throw. I just think it was kind of miscommunication of Jaden Reed's trying to come back to the quarterback, as they teach you. But in that situation, the empty space was behind Jaden Reed, so that's where Jordan throws it, and it was just a, like I said, a miscommunication. They do not connect on that. But Jordan Love, another great game. Like I said, 25 of 36 for 267. It's a 7.5 yard average, 3 touchdowns. He did have 2 sacks, or get sacked twice, I should say. And had a passer rating of 118.6, a quarterback rating of 90.3. Another really good game from him. A.J. Dillon looked spry, I think is a good term for that. Obviously, he'd put his shoulders down and get some extra yards that way, like we expect him to, even though he doesn't always do that. But 18 to 73, a 4-yard carry average. I mean, nothing spectacular, but that's kind of what we know and expect from A.J. Dillon. That's what we expect him to be. He's not that home run hitter, right? And then a couple end-arounds, you know, to Christian Watson, 2 for 15. Patrick Taylor had that big run at the end of the first half, so his numbers were 2 for 29. But obviously, A.J. Dillon, the workhorse in that room there, with Aaron Jones out. Receiving, it felt like this was Christian Watson's day. I thought he looked really good. He competed at the catch point. That second touchdown of his, one, I thought that was a fucking phenomenal throw from Jordan Love. Put it in only where his guy could get it. That was the only person that was ever making that play. And Christian, to his credit, goes up and makes a absolutely phenomenal catch. It was just good and good on both ends, right? Great throw. Great catch. I'd probably argue the catch is a little bit better, but it was still good on both ends of it, I thought. But that's something that I've been waiting to see out of number 9. It's just something we missed early in the season of, like, Christian actually going up and getting a ball like that rather than letting the play come to him. You know, in college, I think he probably could have done that. You know, he's bigger than everyone else. He's faster than everyone else. He can just let the ball come to him. But in the pros, it's a little different, right? In the NFL, you have to go up and make plays. You can't just expect the play to come to you. And we started to see it last week. I think we saw a little bit of it, and we're seeing it again this week. Hopefully Christian's okay. I don't know anything about his injury at this point, but hopefully he's okay, and we can get him back sooner rather than later. But obviously when you come up lame on a non-contact thing, that's not always the best thing. It looked like a hamstring tweak of some kind. Hopefully that's all it is, and it's not a full on like tear or like, you know, anything too bad. It's something that, you know, they can rest him up for a couple weeks, and then we can get him back, you know, kind of around that Christmas time frame before the Vikings game. But other than that, Romeo Doubs, I thought, had a good game. Obviously the dime, the lollipop dime from Jordan Love, you know, backing away from pressure, throwing it up. I thought he could have just thrown it to A.J. Dillon, who was wide open on a check down on 4th and 2, but he throws a dot to Romeo Doubs, a lollipop of a dot, but it was right where it needed to be. credit Romeo for making a good catch and hanging on to that one. Dontavian Wicks was back from injury this week. He looked, he's kind of that, and it's not just the number, I promise, but he's kind of that Alan Lazard for Aaron Rodgers. He's that guy that he just like, he looks to in big spots. And I know Romeo can be that guy for him too, but it just always seems like it's a big spot. We need to move the ball. And all of a sudden it's Dontavian Ricks on a crosser for 25 yards or whatever. You know what I mean? I just think he's been a go-to receiver, and I did not expect that out of Wicks this year at all. Tucker Kraft kind of filling in nicely for Luke Musgrave. I think when both of those guys are on the field, we're starting to see it in this last month or so stretch of we started to see Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave on the field at the same time before Luke went down. And now Tucker Kraft is our tight end one, and now all of a sudden we're seeing Ben Sims out there all the time. We're seeing Henry Pearson, the fullback, out there. So we're just seeing those guys out there a lot more, and that makes it seem like, okay, when Luke Musgrave gets back, this is going to be Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave, and then you're going to have, you know, Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and Aaron Jones in the backfield. Or, you know, you can mix and match the wide receivers how you want, but I think we're going to see a lot more of Musgrave and Kraft together. I thought Kraft looked good. Luke Musgrave kind of seems to be that, you know, middle of the field seam threat type of receiver, where Tucker Kraft really likes to get outside and make a man miss, you know, and he's good on those flat kind of dump outs and then turn up field and make a player miss. And he's been good at that these last few weeks. We've seen it. Luke Musgrave, you know, oftentimes he'd catch those passes and he'd turn up field and like fall and not be able to make anyone miss. And he wasn't getting those extra yards, but Tucker Kraft is. So you can kind of pair these guys and do what they do best. And it helps your offense a lot better, because now you got two guys out there. You have to stay in this heavy personnel if you're defense, because you got two tight ends and a running back out there, and then all of a sudden it's Christian Watson for 50 over your head. So I'm really, really excited about what that brings, and hopefully we get Luke Musgrave back sooner rather than later and really healthy. Kind of surprisingly, Jaden Reed, not a big part of this game. Malik Heath made a big play right after he made a big drop, which I thought was an absolute dot from Jordan Love, right on the hands, just over the outstretched arms of the linebacker defender that was short of the route and right before the safety could get to Heath. Just a perfect ball, and Heath dropped it, but goes back to him a few plays later. He makes a guy miss, gets a first down in that moment. I thought this offense looked really, really good. This is a really, really good Kansas City defense. This is not the Kansas City defense from 5 years ago when Patrick Mahomes drug them to the Super Bowl. This defense is kind of the good part, the good side of the ball, which is crazy to think with Patrick Mahomes, but that's how it's been. This defense has been incredible. Yes, I know they've had injuries in this game, but this offense walked down the field twice in the first half, and they did it again in kind of that 2 minute, and then a stupid penalty, which was a false start by Jaden Reed, and then some not great play on the next play, and then all of a sudden it's 3rd and 15, and it's a tough situation. Otherwise, they were walking on that drive too until that penalty kind of slowed them up. So if that penalty happens, you know, 15 yards down the field, they have an opportunity for a field goal still and scoring 17 in the first half on a very good Kansas City defense. And then in the second half, yeah, they had to punt and it wasn't as efficient. They had a lot more drives to do it in as well. And they had to settle for a couple field goals rather than touchdowns in the fourth, but they did enough. And it was an incredible performance in my eyes for this offense. Just an absolutely phenomenal game. And it makes you really excited about what this team can do, not only this year, but in coming years as these guys continue to coalesce together. Because, and this is important to me, so I kind of liked the idea at the beginning of the season of let's grow together. Let's have Jordan Love grow with young guys rather than count on a veteran that he can just go to in key situations, but then that doesn't allow you to grow your younger receivers that are going to be a part of this team in the coming years, right? In a year, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it is, which a lot of these guys have the ability to, if they continue to play well, they're going to be core parts of this offense moving forward. Guys like Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks. You know, I think you can start talking, maybe Malik Heath can be thrown in there. You can talk about Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft. Like, it is important that this is how they're doing it. And we knew there'd be ups and downs, but I'll be honest with you. I didn't know. Now, they're not scoring 35 points a game yet, but this offense looks legit. Like, they can score enough points to pretty much beat anyone in this league, and they just did it against two of the best six, seven, eight teams in the league in the last 2 weeks with the Lions and Chiefs. Like, this offense can score, and they can score enough points. Now, there's times, like I said, end of the first half, you know, you look in the fourth quarter, getting field goals instead of touchdowns, that might be a little bit of an issue, but I think it will get better, and they'll be better in those moments. But early on in this game, this offense didn't look like they were going to get stopped. And this is a good Kansas City defense. This is a good Kansas City defense. And Jordan Love and these Green Bay Packers walked up the field twice. They had two possessions. And then that, you know, one at the end of the half where they have like 2.5 minutes and they just kind of stall out at midfield. But they were moving the ball on that drive too. Like, it's just this offense, when it's humming, it can hum. And I am really, really excited about what this offense can do defensively. You know, obviously they allowed the Chiefs to move the ball pretty consistently, but importantly, the reason I think in this game specifically, now I know I mentioned Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, why they're going on this 3-game win streak, but this game specifically, this defense getting 3 important sacks in the first half. So the first one to stop them on third down, I think it was third and goal. It might have been, you know, third and 10 from the 12 or something. But it was in the red zone. They get a sack and make them kick a field goal. Next time down, they're on first down, I think. Lucas Van Ness goes on around the edge, gets a sack. So they're backed up a little bit. They run the ball on the next play, and it's, what, second and 10, 11, 9, whatever it is. And then they go and get another sack on third down on that play. So that was incredible. So they're at third and 9, third and 10, whatever they were at. They go and get another sack. That one was Preston Smith. I think Devontae Wyatt was in on that one too. The first one was Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark. And then, like I said, Lucas Van Ness, and then Preston and Devontae Wyatt combined for the third one that caused the Chiefs to not be able to score touchdowns in the first half. They kicked 2 field goals instead because of those sacks. They didn't do a fantastic job of, you know, stopping this offense in terms of like getting off the field quickly. They moved the ball up the field. It was just, when they got to the red zone, especially in that first half, they were able to keep him out of the end zone, which was a very big, important part of this game. And then, obviously, I believe it was in the fourth quarter, Chris Collinsworth says, it just feels like the Packers need to score here, because if Mahomes gets this ball and they don't score, he's going to go and take the lead here. And then what does the defense do? Makes a huge 3-and-out. Kind of looked like either a little miscommunication or just a bad throw. I'm not exactly sure what it was, from Patrick Mahomes to MVS and kind of that slot fade-ish, throw, but that was incomplete on second down. And then they're not able to get the first down. The Packers make them punt. And it was a huge moment in that game. And finally one where they're able to get off the field. So the second half goes touchdown Kansas City, 9 plays, 75 yards. Touchdown Packers, which was huge because the Chiefs came in within 2. They were going for 2. They didn't get the 2. So it's 12-14. Packers walk down the field in 4 minutes, 67 yards, and a touchdown. Then the Chiefs come back, score another one, 11 plays, 66 yards. Packers move the ball slightly, 7 plays, 16 yards, but then they have to punt. And this is where you're like, uh-oh. The only drive the Chiefs hasn't scored on so far in this game was their kneel down at the end of the half because they had 9 seconds and 98 yards to go. So that's the only drive, and you can't even call that a drive, that they haven't scored on to this point. And all of a sudden, Packers put the clamps on that drive. 3 plays, 2 yards, and a punt. Importantly, the Packers go down and score on this situation. So now when the Chiefs get the ball back, they have to score a touchdown. A field goal doesn't really help them. They score. They go 11 plays, 55 yards, and get that field goal to make the score 24-19. 23-19 would have been a little better. Monsters, Inc. fans, where are you at? And then the next drive, they get the absolute bullshit pass interference on Carrington Valentine. Or not Carrington Valentine. Corey Ballantyne got called for pass interference. Next play, Pat Mahomes throws an interception to Keyshawn Nixon. The Packers, 11 plays, 35 yards, take 4 minutes off the clock, and score a field goal. Now, the last play of that where Jordan Love is taking a 10-yard sack, not ideal. Like, I get it. You don't want to look for someone downfield, look for someone downfield and then throw it away. You'd kind of rather take a sack in that situation based on where they were on the field. Now, if they were at the edge of his range, you don't want to take a sack at all. But they were well within his range. You know, you're looking at a 35 to 40 yarder, and he takes a 10-yard sack. In that situation, let's step up and try to get like a 5-yard sack instead. You know what I mean? But Anders, to his credit, goes out, makes the play, gets that 48-yard field goal right down the center. Great, great job to go up by a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. And obviously, there was some controversy in that last drive. Obviously, the fumble that wasn't a fumble. He was down by contact. And then Patrick Mahomes getting hit out of bounds. Actually, that was before the fumble. Getting hit out of bounds, quote unquote. He wasn't out of bounds. He was in bounds. He got hit. It wasn't helmet to helmet. It was a clean hit, and for some reason it was called unnecessary roughness. They get 15 yards on it, and all of a sudden you're like, well, here we go, right? Then, like I said, that fumble that wasn't a fumble happened. Then they move the ball a little bit. They get a first down to the Packers, 33. And then at that point, they don't move the ball again there, and it ends up with that 4th and 10 from the 33, and it was an incomplete Hail Mary attempt. Obviously, the big play in between there is the incomplete pass to MVS that looked like DPI to me. I would say that's DPI. I do think if MVS works towards that ball and like jumps up towards that ball rather than just kind of let it fall to the ground, I think he would have gotten it called for sure. But he didn't attempt to go to the ball. He just kind of like kept running his route and put his arm up, and that was the extent of him going to the ball. That doesn't change the fact that it was DPI. In my eyes, that was DPI, and it should have been called. But there was some bad calls in this game. That unnecessary roughness, the Corey Ballantyne pass interference, that was weak at best. Like, the officiating just wasn't good in this game, and the Chiefs kind of take the brunt of it because if they call DPI there, it just feels like they're going to score a touchdown. Now they still have to get the 2-point conversion. The game's not over at that point, obviously, but you know, it just felt like that was going to be sent into overtime if that flag was called. But that's going to be it for me this week. It was a really, really exciting game. I got to watch this with my in-laws at a bar just down the road from my house, and I drank a little too much beer, I'll tell you that, but it was such a fun time with great, great friends and family with us, and it was just such a fun time being at the bar. A lot of fun people there, cheering on the Packers together, and it was just an incredible, incredible game, incredible team win for this Packers team, who are now 6-6, and the schedule gets a lot easier. You just beat the Chargers, Lions, Chiefs. Now you have the 4-win, I believe, Giants, then the Buccaneers, the 1-win Panthers, Vikings, and Bears. This is a winnable. You could theoretically win out. I think the toughest game is at Minnesota, but your other tough game is in Lambeau against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming up from Florida, coming into Lambeau in the middle of December. That should be a game that you're favored in and that you can win. Giants you should beat, Panthers you should beat, Bears you should beat. And like I said, the toughest game is at Minnesota, and you can go and beat Minnesota on New Year's Eve, a night game, another fun Sunday night game, and let's go win out here, huh? Wouldn't that be something? After the way that 4-game stretch happened, you just didn't feel like this team could do it. And they have a potential of winning their last 8 games and being the hottest team rolling into the playoffs. And that sounds like a fun time to me. And hopefully that's what happens. Obviously, stay here. Stay tuned to us here. We'll continue to recap games and talk about what this team needs to do moving forward. They got a Monday night game in New York against the Giants coming up here next week. But until then, and as always, go Pack, go.